Hello, and welcome to the Tethys Oil Q3 Earnings Report 2019. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question-and-answer session. Today, I'm pleased to present Managing Director Magnus Nordin and CFO William Holland. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Thank you very much, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We address you from a sunny and rather cold Stockholm. Temperature is just a little bit above freezing and glowing sunlight. I think we have a report that deserves a bit of spotlight also. The summary for the third quarter is actually nicely done in three sets of digits: 13, 053, 49, and 56. This translates to a lot of activity from Oman. 13, 053 is the record production we achieved from the quarter from our producing Block 3 and 4 asset. 49 is the previously orphaned block in the western part of Oman, which has proven to be quite prospective. 56 is a new addition, a new block in Oman, 20 km south of the border of Block 4. Appraisal opportunity holding some very interesting geology. The record production stems from the successful implementation and also response from the various production-enhancing activities that have been carried out from Blocks 3 and 4. The fine-tuning of the Ulfa facility that came fully on stream at the early second quarter this year. Drilling of additional production wells, particularly in the Shahad field, and a continued successful maintenance program of the older fields. Block 49, we have interpreted the new seismic that we collected last year, and we are very happy to say that we have found one drillable prospect, a number of leads, and we are still looking at the part of the 3D area where we are not done yet. We reached our most important milestone. We have a prospect, and we hope to drill it during the first half of 2020. Block 56, as I said, is a new addition. It's still subject to government approval. It's a farm-in into an existing joint venture. An appraisal opportunity where we hope to participate in the testing of three already drilled wells in the recent near future. We do see some very interesting geology that shows good promise for the future. Of course, we also have growth opportunities in Blocks 3 and 4. Two exploration wells are currently in progress. One is done drilling, and not without complications, and testing is still ongoing. Whereas the other one, the Mahfad-1, has spudded and is drilling as we speak. Translating this into financials, of course, as you could expect from record production, strong financials with revenue in excess of $40 million, a very healthy EBITDA of $26.6 million, with an operating result of $14.5 million, achieved through a selling price of $65.40 per barrel, which of course is down a little bit compared to the second quarter and down considerably compared to the equivalent quarter last year. Still a good price and yielding us very good results. OpEx, $10 per barrel. It's a number we are quite happy with. The production, of course, we are extremely happy with, at 13,053 barrels of oil per day on average for the quarter. We end the quarter with a net cash position of $71.9 million. And that is more than enough money that we need to continue what we are doing, including new projects. And of course, we are paying 1 crown per share to our shareholders. I think record date is on the 18th of November. So the cash should be with our shareholders in about 3 weeks from today. Let me take this opportunity to remind you that this crown is just the final part of the distribution of 8 crowns that we have done in total 2019, which is the highest distribution we've had so far. It compares to 6 crowns per share that we distributed in 2018. And with a strong cash position and with excellent cash flow generation, we, of course, are confident that we will continue to distribute cash to shareholders. Our main asset base is Oman, and that is even clearer today with the addition of Block 56. Our acreage position in Oman is further strengthened, and although we haven't done the full numbers, I dare say that for investors that want to have exposure to the Sultanate of Oman, Tethys probably offers one of the best vehicles around. We are with a 30% share in Blocks 3 and 4, where, of course, we have the our production. We have Block 49, where, of course, we now have an interesting exploration prospect to drill next year. And we have our new Block 56, where we are looking at appraisal activities later in the reasonably near future. With that, I would like to hand the floor over to our CFO, William Holland, who will give you a lot more detail on the numbers. Will, please.
Thank you, Magnus, and good morning, everybody. First of all, let me talk about production on Blocks 3 and 4. As you can clearly see from the charts here, we're benefiting from the prior investments that we've made into production, and our quarterly production is over 13,000 barrels of oil per day. First time we've been over 13,000 barrels of oil per day, up 10% from this time last year, which is a very notable achievement. As you can see from the chart, there has been a step up in our production, and this is a direct result of the investment we've made in infrastructure in the Ulfa facility and new wells and maintenance on older wells. So we're very happy with the way that's resulted in the production levels that we're currently at. If we then turn to the oil price, which we have been receiving, this is a reminder, we have a 2-month lag on oil price. We sell 2 months forward. And as you can see, for this year, actually, the oil price has maintained a level above $60 per barrel. And it's come off slightly from Q2. We're slightly down, and we've achieved an average of $65.4 a barrel for this quarter. But it does seem like the oil price has stabilized above the $60 per barrel for this year, which is down from 2018, but still a very reasonable level. What does that translate to from revenue? If we move on to slide 9, you'll see there that our revenue is for Q3 is actually very similar to revenue for Q2, marginally down just because of the oil price has come off a little bit from what we've achieved. But if you look at our what we've achieved for the year at $114.7 million, we're up on 2018, and we are demonstrating stable production and stable revenue as a result for the quarter. So that's very good. Moving to expenses, talking about stability. You'll note again that the Q3 is very, very similar to Q2. And on an absolute basis, we're recording $12.1 million net to Tethys of expenses for the quarter, which is very much in line with what we had at Q2 as well. So looking at what does that mean from an OPEX and a netback standpoint? We recorded a OPEX per barrel of $10.1, which again is stable. It's down slightly from the 10.2 that we recorded last quarter, predominantly due to the higher production. But I think this is only 10 cents per barrel less. It's definitely a number that has stabilized, and we are pleased with that. We still expect that for the year that the OPEX per barrel will come in at the $11 or below mark. What does that mean for EBITDA? Our EBITDA for the year, for the quarter, for Q3, is marginally off. That's due to the selling price of the crude coming down a little bit. But I will draw your attention to our EBITDA margin at 65% for Q3. Although that's slightly off Q2, that's still a very, very respectable level to be at, and we're quite happy with that. So what does that translate to from a cash position? As Magnus mentioned earlier on, we've got a very healthy cash position. We're back over $70 million, $71.9 million, despite our significant distributions to shareholders. So we have a very healthy cash position and are very well equipped to continue with our operations and, in fact, do more than invest in our existing operations. Investments in Blocks 3 and 4 in the next slide continues according to plan as well. And we see for the quarter we've invested $14.2 million in Blocks 3 and 4. And we remain within our guidance for the year of $50 to $55 million of investments for 2019. What are we spending that money on? If we look at Blocks 3 and 4, you see the wells that we're currently drilling. To date, we've drilled 24 wells. There are other wells ongoing. We maintain a very active program. And as I said, we retain that guidance of $50 to $55 million for the year. So with that, I'd like to turn back to our Managing Director, Mr. Magnus Nordin.
Thank you very much, Will. So let's turn to the next slide that summarizes our operations for the third quarter 2019. And during the third quarter, of course, we had Block 3 and 4 activity. You've seen some of the details. The basics are the same. We held 30%, and the block is operated by CCED with partner Mitsui. We've had it since 2007. And the license runs to 2040, so we have ample time both to produce the known assets but also to continue to look for more in that block. And then Block 49, a block that we'll be talking a lot more about over the next, over the coming months, hopefully also the coming years. We have 100%. We are the operator. We signed it almost exactly 2 years ago in November 2017. So we have 1 year and about a month to go in the first exploration period. Also, a reasonably large block, 15,439 square kilometers, still one of the larger ones in Oman. And I think we have used these 2 years fairly well. As you frequently do, when you get a new exploration block in your portfolio, you look at what has happened before. You look at previous wells. You come up with an idea of what the geology looks like. What potential petroleum systems could there be? What have you learned from previous wells? And then, following the textbook, you go out and do some seismic on top of the old seismic that's already there. That's exactly what we did. We can see from previous wells that obviously oil had been generated. There were shows in several wells drilled before us. Seismic coverage was a bit spotty, and in particular the quality wasn't the best. So we focused on two areas where we found the prospectivity, both from a petroleum system point of view, but also from what we could see from previous seismic, where we would have the biggest chance of, if we could find something drillable, to also make it work from a trap and charge and the source potential. And we completed the seismic during early this year. We've interpreted it, thus focused on the 2D area, where we felt we had enough where we had more information from the Ola seismic. What we hoped to find was confirmed. We have a drillable prospect in the 2D area. We also have a number of potential leads, which of course we will revisit in the course of time. But first, we're now focusing on drilling this well. We are in the process of securing rigs and all the other stuff that's needed to drill a well. It will actually be the first well that Tethys will operate itself in Oman since 2008, when we operated Block 15. It will be a highlight for Block 49 next year. But we are also looking at the 3D area up to the very eastern part of the block, where interpretation continues in parallel with preparing for drilling in the 2D area. So as we mentioned in our report, we have every reason to assume we can come back and say a lot more about Block 49 over the next couple of months. So do stay tuned. Returning to 3 and 4, our non-operated star performer, just to remind you that production was a bit lackluster here in the first quarter, and we explained that by delays in the startup of the Ulfa, the so-called Ulfa facility, which handles a lot of the oil for the 2017 exploration discoveries. And we guided that this would be rectified and that we expected to make up the shortfall and have stood by our guidance of between 12 and 13,000 barrels of oil per day for 2019. And we are, of course, very happy to see that everything we said was going to happen has happened. And we are now, as we approach the end of the year, firmly entrenched in the higher part of the production guidance for 2019. Reminding you of reserves and resources, this is the opening balance for 2018. So far this year, we have produced about 3.2 million barrels, and at this rate, we are going to come in above the production for 2018. So we will, of course, look to maintain our excellent record on reserve replacement, and that is one of the focuses for the year, to find more oil in Blocks 3 and 4, and also mature contingent resources into reserves. As we are approaching the end of the year, we will soon know how successful we have been in these two tasks. And focusing a little bit on 3 and 4, this slide summarizes where we have our fields, where we have the seismic, and we are spending a fair amount of time and money on collecting more seismic this year in 2019. We are basically filling the gaps west of Farah South and north of Farah South to have a fairly complete coverage by the end of the year, we hope, of Block 3 to fully assess the potential in that block. While at the same time doing our exploration wells, both the Yusur and Martha ones are wells flanking the Farah South field. They are within seismic that was collected in 2018. The results will bear on and will be helped by the seismic that we now collect in what is turning into a very systematic approach to unlock the potential surrounding the Farah field and also the potential between the Farah field and the Shahad fields in Block 4. Yusr has been completed drilling. There were some issues during both drilling operations and testing operations. So the testing is not complete, and work with testing the Yusr well will continue in the fourth quarter, and we have to have something here before the end of the fourth quarter. Mahmid is drilling. It's a rather interesting well with several targets, both in the Boua Khoufei and in the deeper Mistura Bay formation, including underlying formations in the Precambrian Cryogenian layers of geology. Well, it's quite interesting in that it by testing so many different objectives, we will get a lot of information about the remaining prospectivity, in particular in the area east of the Farah South field. So that's another well that we wish you to stay tuned to look in for more information about as such becomes available. Brief touch on the appraisal development. Focus on the quarter has been, among others, on the Erfan discovery from 17, where two wells, appraisal wells, were drilled. Both encountered oil as expected, and both have been connected to the Sawan production facility, which is actually a result also that we are quite pleased with, and no negative surprises on this field. And finally, turning to our new edition, Block 56, which we didn't know about until about a week ago. It was announced on the 30th of October. As you can see from the map, we are south of Block 4. Block 4 is in the upper corner of the slide. We have a number of blocks in between. Should say that recently there have been some additions. Block 72, that shows open, is now operated by Occidental Petroleum. And Block 55, which also shows open, is now operated and owned by Shell. So if you believe that big companies know what they're doing, we are in a very good company. I should say we have very good neighbors. Block 56 is operated by Indonesian E&P company Medco, who also operate the Karim field adjacent to Block 56, which is within Block 6 that's run by PDO, and Karim is operated under the PDO small field operations in production, and of course that makes Medco an optimal operator for Block 56. We see some very interesting potential from the blocks 3 and 4 perspective. 56 straddles both the central Omani place, but also and has similar geology to what we have in 3 and 4, and also offers opportunity further west in a much younger tertiary basin that is fairly underexplored to this date. Among the attractions of 56 is that 11 wells have been drilled and all but one have encountered oil or oil shows. Compare this to Blocks 3 and 4 when we entered some 10 years ago, where just over 30 wells have been drilled and half of those had encountered oil and oil shows. We do see similarities between 56 and 3 and 4 at that time. The work program that Tethys will now become part of is focused on testing three of the legacy wells in the not-too-distant future. And, of course, we hope to contribute with our ideas and expertise once we have the results from these wells. And from a Tethys perspective, it's an investment that is seriously off to a flying start, and we have high hopes for where Block 56 is going to take us. So to summarize the quarter, or I should say the future, 3 and 4, we are looking forward to the testing of the Yusr exploration well. We are looking forward to the results of the Mahar exploration wells. And we are looking forward to details on the third exploration well, which is scheduled to be spudded sometime in the fourth quarter, while, of course, hoping to maintain the excellent production levels that we have seen for the last couple of months. 49, the prospect is identified, and now it's full steam ahead at getting ready to drill that exploration well, which we hope to see drilled in the first half of 2020. And 56, we hope to see a flow test of those three wells in the not-too-distant future. We continue the groundwork on all blocks, maturing leads and finding additional prospects and continually updating Tethys geological models. And while we maintain our 2019 production guidance for 12 to 13,000 barrels of oil per day, we are now firmly entrenched in the higher part of that guidance. And of course, we hope to come as close to the top end for the end of the year as we can. And as we approach 2020, we will be happy to guide for 2020 in due course when we have work programs and budgets for our various licenses. On that note, I would like to open the floor to questions. Please.
Thank you. If you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. Our first question comes from the line of Joseph Douglas from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. A couple of questions from me, if I may. On Block 56, are you looking to test a few wells there? I just wonder if you could give some provide some numbers of what you're expecting in terms of flow rate. Do you think this will be similar to what you saw initially at Blocks 3 and 4? And in terms of news flow, when would we be expecting these tests, or is it too early to say? And second question on your M&A strategy. So it looks like a really good start, as you say, it's an attractive enterprise. I would agree with that. Just on further M&A going forward, what are you looking for? Would it be is your focus still in Oman? It'd be good to get sort of a flavour of what you're looking at in the future. Thank you.
Okay, first to say, I don't think we can give any more details really on what we expect to Block 56 at this time. As I mentioned, we've actually only had the block for a week, and formally it is still subject to government approval. So as soon as we have more information, we'll be happy to share that with the market. But at the moment, I don't think we can really say any more than we already have. Okay. As far as our M&A activity. We are certainly we have the balance sheet to support additional projects, and I can say that we continue to look for additional projects, and our strategy there hasn't really changed. I mean, we are still looking at low entry tickets. We are looking at for value accretion to find things that actually will contribute serious value to us, and we like to have the risk reward ratio on our side. So I suppose one could summarize that to say we will continue our strategy and hope for more of the same, but different.
Great, thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Sigurd Fregler from Fregler Investment. Thank you. Please go on.
Hello, here's Fregler from Germany. I thank you for the quarter. It was a really good quarter. I have a question to user one. What problems or what challenges were there when you had some problems and some time lag? Is there oil flowing, and do you need user one to maintain the production on field 3 and 4? So thank you.
Okay, user has experienced a few technical issues, both in connection with the drilling and the testing. Nothing that is abnormal from an oil field perspective, but still it caused time delays. Nothing that is out of the ordinary and that can't be fixed. So the main drawback is that we've lost some time there. And the well is an exploration well, and it has got nothing to, at all to do with the current production guidance.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Theodore Nielsen from SB1 Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys, and thanks for taking my question, and also congrats on a good quarter. My first question is on production going forward. I know that the current production is certainly somewhat impacted by the production restrictions in Oman. How should we think about that into 2020? Should we expect somewhat higher production in 2020? And also second question is regarding your OPEX, which has been pretty low over the past two quarters, around $10 per barrel. Should we expect that to decline into 2020?
Thank you, Theodore. And the first question, production. As I mentioned, we are not in a position to guide anything for 2020 at this stage. It will be very much a function of where we end up with work programs and spending for next year. And we'll be happy to get back to address that question as soon as we can. And for the remainder of the year, we stand fully by our guidance. And as I mentioned, we happily note that we are moving in the higher end of the US guidance. As for the OPEX, I'll be delighted to ask Will to expand a little bit on how we look upon OPEX yesterday, today, and in the future.
Thank you, Magnus. Hi, Theodore. So we are, as a non-operator, we obviously receive our joint billing statements from CCD on a monthly basis, and we do spend a lot of time analysing that and making sure that we are we're happy with the numbers. And the guidance that we provide is for the year of $11 per barrel. We think that we're going to reach that, but it's as we sort of saw it in at the beginning of this year, there were some carryover costs from the previous year. When we don't expect that to happen this time, but you never really know until we get the actual results. But we are comfortable with the way that the operator is operating and is accounting for their operations at the moment. So we hope that will continue throughout the year. I hope that answers the question.
Yes, thank you. And actually, a third one question on Block 50. Six, that it looks like a good deal. Could you shed some light on the split between the cash payment and carry, and also whether there's any earn out or not in that deal? Thank you.
Actually, rather not, Theodore. Let's just say that as we have stated, it's a mixture of cash and carry, and we expect to, if the block turns into commercial production, we expect to retrieve a substantial amount of the outlays we've had, and we are not really in a position to give more detail on that, I'm afraid, at this stage at least.
Okay, that's fair. That's all for me. Thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Johan Spitz from Pareto Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Magnus and William. I had a couple of questions also on the topic of M&A, but some of them have been answered already, so I just had one follow-up question left, I guess, which regards to further corporate development or M&A in Oman. Of course, now you've entered into Block 49, Block 56 most recently, and you are now established, of course, in Oman in a very, very nice way. Do you see further similar opportunities in Oman of opportunities to enter into additional blocks for a relatively minor upfront payment and build a portfolio that way?
Let's put it this way: we certainly consider Oman perspective, and obviously we believe we can make a genuine contribution to unlocking that prospectivity through the experience we have gained in country. What opportunities may or may not present themselves is, of course, a function both of what's part of bid rounds, what deals can be found outside of the bid rounds. But it's also, of course, a function of competition. And as I did mention, our neighbors today in blocks that were open recently now are Occidental and Shell. So, for as much as we appreciate our good neighbors, neighbors can also occasionally be competitors. We certainly look for opportunity both in Oman but also elsewhere, and we would be happy to add to our portfolio possibilities that we believe satisfy our criteria of low entry cost and good risk reward value creation creation. But it's difficult to assess what our chances will be. So, we will certainly keep looking and keep trying, and do stay tuned for the result. I hope that was reasonably helpful, Jan.
Yeah. I guess the angle I was going for was what you touched upon briefly there, where you see that your history in the country is a big competitive advantage compared to some of those much larger potential competitors in these bidding rounds, or do you see the one is preferring size relative to an established presence in the country, or do you have any impression on that?
I think it's difficult for us to form such an impression. We will continue to doing what we think we do best, and hope that will take us as far as it can.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
And just as a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. Our next question comes from the line of Carl Frederik Pedersen from ABG. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Wanted to follow up on your priorities between growing the company and also looking to the balance sheet, given your substantial net cash position. So with these, call it longer-term growth prospects, how do you now envisage your balance sheet going forward? Should we expect to see quite substantial distributions also for 2020, or will you now have a more balanced view on CapEx versus distributions?
Let's put it this way. I mean, we like to try and be everything for everyone. So we hope to be able to satisfy the yield-hungry investor, as well as to satisfy the growth-hungry investor. And in line with our stated capital goal, we certainly, with the balance sheet we have today, believe that we can continue on that path. And what that will translate into for 2020 in detail, it's a bit early to say, but there's certainly been no change in the strategic outlook and the change in our long-term capital goals.
Okay, so the long-term target of zero net
That still stands.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
As there are no further questions, I'll hand it back to the speakers.
In that case, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening in, for asking some good questions. And I hope we can talk to you again in about 3 months' time, and then with a lot of new information that follows from where we end today. Thank you very much.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.